for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday evening, June the 27th, 1978. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Summer Camp Meeting, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Speaker of the evening is Chuck Flynn.
The spoke about the surely are the days of restoration that our Lord has only just begun. He's just begun to move again in our generation. Although he's done so much, he still will do much more. So let your eyes take hold of our new vision, for our Lord has only just begun. The lame do walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see. The voice of God is sounding forth through all the earth. These are the days of glorious resurrection that our Lord has only just begun. Begun to move again in our generation. Although he's done so much, he still will do much more. So let your eyes take hold of our new vision, for our Lord has only just begun. The glory of the Lord shall surely fill the earth. He said, just like the waters cover o'er the sea, revival comes, we live in expectation. But our Lord has only just begun. He's just begun to move again in our generation. Although he's done so much, he still will do much more. So let your eyes take hold of our new vision, for our Lord has only just begun.
Come on, let's stand up and sing that.
He's just begun to move again in our generation. Although he's done so much, he still
Lord, we thank you for the presence of the living God in this place. Thank you for the anointing of the Lord to flow through us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord to flow. Thank you for God's faith, the Lord.
He's just begun to move again, and I'm ready to cry. And north and south, the people gather. And only unto him the gathering shall be. These are the days of mighty preparation. For our Lord has only just begun.
So many people have asked about the music for this song and also the one that I sang earlier today. Both the words and music for both these songs are going to be in Demolishing the Host of Hell when it comes out.
Praise.
Amen.
Praise. Bless you, brother.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. We just praise God for his wonderful, wonderful presence and enjoyment we have in the fellowship one with another. 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 16 and verse 13. We're going to speak tonight on that which he has begun to do, that which he's already working in our hearts. I have the album with the four cassettes in it. I'll just touch briefly upon this tonight. There's other areas that I will be bringing out possibly, but you can find the complete message in the four tapes in that album of Don't Break the Ranks. So let's speak on tonight, Don't Break the Ranks. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, and let all your things be done with charity. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Circle the two words, watch ye. As we have the scriptural investigation, this word, watch ye, means there is a trumpeter anointing, a sensitivity of the clouds of God to know what God is saying. The Lord is speaking to his people. The Lord is revealing himself through that wonderful realm of revelation that he is opening up to his own. So watching means have the trumpeter anointing. And their office was to see the cloud of God and then trumpet to alert the people the cloud was moving. God is raising up trumpeter anointings, hallelujah, among the body of Christ. And so, praise God, this anointing is at hand and available upon all of God's people. Stand fast in the faith means don't break rank. Now, there's the Greek term in the original. Stand fast means don't break rank. And don't pull your shoulder back. Quit you like men means when God reaches for us, we pull our shoulder back, a type of what we were talking about this morning in the arrows or the deceitful bow, the weapons that God wants to use in our life or use us as a weapon. Jonathan had a bow that turned not back on him. It didn't flip on him. When pressure was put on a bow, therefore God says, when my people have my pressure upon them, so that the string will sing, hallelujah. He wants to use each one of us. And so when the pressure is put upon our lives till the string sings, then we're ready to use as a bow that will not flip under pressure. So watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith is a military term that means there's a cadence in God. There is a cadence and a marching that the glory of God moves within our spirit, and we are at the right place at the right time, and the anointings of the Holy Spirit and the freedoms and the cleansings and deliverances of the Lord is to put us into that cadence. The ministries of the fivefold ministries and to the body of Christ is not only in a pulpit order, that's just part of it. But it means that those ministries are given to the body. The pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, the prophet, the apostle. Those anointings are to be given to the full body of the Lord for the perfecting of the saints. The word is their positioning of the saints. It's a heavier word. More individual. Otherwise, you're dealing with just a small segment of the body if you restrict it to clergy. But if we had to depend on clergy, we're of all men most miserable. So the anointings of the Lord now is beginning to speak unto his people, reviving what he did in Numbers when he said, there's a shout of a king amongst them. Hallelujah. Balaam said, I can't even curse them. Everything I say turns to a blessing because there's a shout of a king amongst them. We're going to turn the curses into the blessing. The anointing of the king upon us. Hallelujah. So that which has been conceived and connived from the very council of hell, God's going to turn it as we receive Jesus as the king. And the shout of the king's among us, brother. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. The anointing of God's upon us. Balaam couldn't even curse Israel.
Because, praise God, she went God's perfect way. She didn't want a king that could fight her battles. She wanted to worship the king and he. The battle's not ours, it's his anyway. Let's praise him. Lord, we thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to my son, to my son, to my son. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You better underline that. Where is that brother number? I think it's 20. I think you better get that in the word so that it will be a staff unto it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know where it's at in my Bible if I can turn to the right page. There was a shout of a king amongst them. Hallelujah. All right, 22, number 22. I must have went right past it. That's what I want. Well, that's part of it. Yeah, that's dealing with Balaam, and maybe I haven't had this one, particular one. Oh, yeah, sure, I didn't have it underlined like I thought. In verse 21, chapter 23 of Numbers, and verse 21, I wanted to get this on the tape. It's a very important verse. And Balaam is speaking here. He said, "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him." Now underline this. "The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Praise God. So with the shout of a king amongst them, hallelujah, this is the great army that God is raising up. Don't break rank. I'm going back now to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, and put down by that verse 1 Chronicles 12, 32, and verse 38. This is the way that I sort of study the word, and then you'll find there will be a connection. As I mentioned, when you take a stone and you throw it across the water, a body of water out here, and it'll skip. You take a smooth stone and give it a sling. These are the dips in God's Word that bring certain subjects into hand. First Chronicles 12, 32 and 38 was what I just wanted you to put down to verse 13, and then Joel 2, 7. Now what we'll do, we'll go backwards. These skippings are the anointings of God that have touched down through His Word. What we're doing, we're starting sort of at the end skip, and we're coming back to Him who has thrown us, the rock. Hallelujah. And that rock is Christ. Hallelujah. So the trumpeter anointing are those that are sensitive to the power of God, stand fast in the faith, means don't break the rank. Keep the armor of God, because the anointings of the Lord are for the positioning of the saints. The fivefold anointing that God gave us, in that there is the heart of the pastor, the heart of the evangelist, the heart of the teacher, and the heart of the prophet, the heart of the apostle, is for the positioning of the saints of God. That's why God's dealing with each one of us in a most unusual way. These past few months and few years, how many have been dealt with severely? Hallelujah. Oh, how the rugs have been pulled out from under us. And oh, how God seemed like His program has been stepped up. And He's trying to teach us and adjust us and put us into the right place at the right time. The word paracletes is the Greek term, a word for the comforter has come, the third person of the Trinity. Paraclete, it means the one who is called alongside of us to assist us. It's like a tugboat call alongside of us to put us into port, put us in the right place where God wants us. The body of Christ is fitly framed together so the paraclete, the Holy Ghost, his office is to maneuver into the slot of the body of the Lord. The right place at the right time. I didn't say parakeet, I said paraclete. Some people think we just imitate each other. A lot of parakeet. Hallelujah. But praise God, there's creativity. In fact, that beautiful chapter in Matthew 13, verse 52, is summed up by this tremendous verse when Jesus said, a scribe that is taught of the kingdom. Jesus used that 13th chapter, and the sower went forth to sow. He used the tree, part of the kingdom. He used the net and the fishes. He told about the pearl of great price. He told about the man in the field that found the treasure. All those beautiful teachings of the kingdom. And then he sums it all up with this verse that's overlooked by many. Jesus said, when a scribe is taught of the kingdom. Now, a scribe is someone who just copies someone else. That's what most religions want you to do. Just do what they say. But God, they hand you something. A scribe just posts no questions. Just copy it. Copier, Xerox Christian. Imitator. But Jesus said, I want you to be creative. When you begin to learn of what my kingdom is, hallelujah, when you begin to flow in the anointing of the joy, the strength, and the person of my attributes that I've given you, he said, I want you to be creative. And the scribe, the one who has copied, the one who is just by rote for years has just imitated or copied that which has been given to him. When he begins to learn of the kingdom, Jesus said, he becomes a householder. And when he becomes a householder, he takes out of his treasure both things new and old. It means now you have come into an authority of a householder. And out of your treasure, hallelujah, comes things new and old. The old things are God's love, God's justice, God's wonderful grace, those wonderful things that are ageless. But the new things is the wonderful revelations and the anointings of worship and praise and things that God speaks to his people. There's a treasure of old and new. Amen? Amen. And so that's what he's teaching those who will listen and be creative in the anointings of the Holy Spirit, who will be balanced, be teachable. Those two words. I admonish you to write in your notes or in your Bible, be balanced and be teachable. So here we have in this area of Scripture the mighty army of the Lord. And now we're going to go to Joel, the book of Joel, and we'll see. We'll come back to those fivefold gifts and so forth, bring them into our day. But let's go into the first or second chapter of Joel. Now, because of the tremendous schedule of the seminars today and the services, we want to, it's a pretty nice hunk here. We're cutting off ourselves, but we want to hurry to get through it as best as possible. Joel 2:7. Now, don't break the ranks. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 is picked up as a revelation to the body of Christ. The army of the Lord, don't break ranks. This is where you can connect now spiritual truth through a theme. That's why I love word study. We would have missed it if we just looked at that and said, stand fast in the faith. But that means don't break rank because you're in the army of the Lord. So where's the army of the Lord mentioned? Let's turn to Joel 2:7. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. Hallelujah. Circle men of war. And by verse 7, put 1 Chronicles 12, 32-38. Keep your chain of revelation here. And they shall mark everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. The burden of the Lord with his army and what he's working at right now is to put his people where they belong and keep us there. The working now of God, his main effort, is that we would not break rank. Neither shall one thrust another. Oh, brother. Oh, is that self-explanatory, or is it self-explanatory? They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Hallelujah. And so the army of the Lord, this is what God is saying to us tonight. He said, know your rank, know your position. By the anointings of the Holy Spirit, you will be at the right place at the right time. The teachings of the Lord in the maturing and the glory of his word is cleansing and moving in your spirit, so that the glory of God upon you and your home will make your home so tender and sensitive that you will have the trumpeter anointing in your home, and your home will be conducive to the revelation. The Lord spoke to me in San Jose, California, as I was going to say something about the wonderful atmosphere of the pastor's home. That pastor who is now pastoring Judson Cornwall's old church there in Oregon, Eugene, Oregon. Pastor Dan House and I were in Bible college together and good friends. We had a wonderful meeting that week. Sunday morning I was going to say how the atmosphere of the home, we didn't have to pray over loud jazz or loud TV when we prayed for meals. They had all maturation levels of children, and praise God for a house in order. Very important. A house in order. Abraham, this goes in with the anointing of the gift of the Spirit, because when God had spoken over Abraham a tremendous prophetic word, when God wanted to raise up a man who would raise up a nation to bless all the nations of this big blue marble, this planet Earth, the word of the Lord had spoken. God said, I want to go to the homes. I want to check out a few homes here. Gabriel, you go down this block. Michael, you go down this side of the street. And God says, I know Abraham because I've visited his home. Genesis 18, verse 19. I know him because he is example unto his children. And that is tremendous. How that God would not even consider a man for a tremendous task, even in the sperms and the life of his own body, unless he went to his home. Bring forth a nation that would bless the nations of the earth. Why did God have to go to his home? Because God says, I went to his home to see what his attitude is in his home, if that would qualify him to be the father of many nations. And when God says, I've been to his home, I visited Abraham in his home, therefore I'll bring to pass that which is spoken of him. You might have received a word from the Lord. You might have received a prophetic word. And you think, that didn't come to pass. Probably Brother Chuck or somebody else, you know, they probably had too many tacos or too much watermelon. But don't you forget it, friends. When you receive the word from the Lord, it's still under the subjection of your attitude in your home. God doesn't just pass around the goodies of anointings and prophetic words, and then we can just live like we want to and go home and have a knockdown drag out. He said, I want to see what your attitude in your home is, therefore I'll bring to pass the word that has been spoken. A preaching of a word, the anointing of God's holy word, the power of God to deliver you. Hallelujah. Oh, the thrill of the Lord's anointing upon you. But be careful what your attitude is in your home. It brings to pass that which God has ordained. Therefore, I'll bring to pass that which is spoken of him. Hallelujah. Amen. We have, the recipient has a responsibility. When you and I receive that anointing from the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's be careful. Let's go to our home and bless it. Hallelujah. Praise God. That'll bring the word of the Lord to pass. Let's praise God for this. Father, we thank you as we put a wall of fire around our home. We praise you, Lord. We will treat one another, oh God, the husband with his wife, the wife with her husband, the parents with their children, the children with the parents. My God, we bless the body of Christ. We loose the anointing of the Lord in our homes. And we praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus spoke to me there in San Jose, and he said, you remember the vision of the net that I gave Peter on the housetop of Simon the Tanner? He said, the vision of the net that changed the order, the early order of the church. And I said, yes, Lord. He said, the vision and this house of Simon the Tanner was just as important to me as the vision of the net of the unclean animals. He went ahead to say, because Simon and his wife had such harmony together that she was not disturbed to have my servant come to their home, but she went ahead and prepared the meal, and Simon and his wife flowed in such harmony that their home was conducive to revelation, and that's why I sent Peter there. Oh, hallelujah. I had never heard that term before until Jesus spoke it to my heart. Their home was conducive to revelation. He quickly picked it up and he said, you remember the centurion that said that I was not worthy to come into his home because his servant was healed or was sick? He didn't wait for my answer. He said, when that centurion who knew authority put his whole home under my authority, not only was the servant healed, but every member of that household had divine help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he used one more illustration. He said, you remember John Mark? He said when he was discouraged on the first missionary journey and dropped out, he said, but later on my servant Paul said, send John Mark to me for he's profitable into the gospel. He said, the thing that I cherished in John Mark was the determination of his mother, who when Peter was in prison, and I don't care what the officials are doing with our pastor, with our leaders, they may put him in prison, but this is my house, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. And Jesus said, I was so thrilled with her determination. He says, I covered her son with that same determination. And even though he was discouraged and had stumbled, he picked himself up and was profitable unto my servant Paul and to the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank the Lord. The revelation of our home is very important. Now, this is the army of the Lord. They're men of war. They would not break their ranks. And they would not thrust one another through. And that's what God is busy, and the Holy Spirit is doing today, is to get each one of us into the place where there is that divine harmony, that we're not stumbling over each other, and we're all wielding swords, and we're thrusting one another through. Ministry unto ministry. Just because, as it was mentioned already tonight, you're on some other program that might disagree, then it marks you off. But God is bringing his army together. There's a few stragglers behind. But brother, hallelujah. The sword of the Lord's upon his people. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise the Lord. The battle cry, the war dance. It was last June, about last year, about this time. I was at a church in Bellflower, California. The pastor is O.J. Phillips, a mighty man of love. And as I began to minister, I didn't even say my text, but the anointing of the song of the Lord came on the people, and the Holy Spirit says, now, as I move, now I'm going to do a new thing so that you realize I want to teach you while I also teach the people. You tell them what's happening. We just stood up there, and all of a sudden it became a roar among the people, a great harmonious roar of singing in the Spirit. And as the singing in the Spirit gathered in anthem and in glory, it sounded like one voice, which we call the Song of the Lamb. And then as that waned, there was a prophetic word that was sung beautifully, and that word gave forth such strength and power unto the people that the people caught up with that theme, and there was a chorus that echoed back from the audience, "Sings unto the Lord." Someone else spoke out. There's a little Spanish lady that I know was not familiar with that type of flow, but she yielded to the Lord, a little rough at first, but she gave out with a war cry and a battle cry that was tremendous. It was anointed of God as it was released in her being. I think she's even surprised. Oh, hallelujah. That battle cry seemed like the Lord gave me the prophetic interpretation of it, spoke it forth, and it's the words of David, "I'm going to run through a troop and jump over a wall." Many just rested in the Lord as they opened their Bibles, and many stood up, and some sang the favorite scriptures, and they just began to sing on the word of the Lord. They could have sang anything. Just about. But there was a tremendous power of the Lord, and it was just maybe a verse or two. Nobody did, you know, went too long, maybe. Just enough, a couple of verses as they sang that melody, and then the people picked up with the main theme that was so precious. Oh, how it built, edified the body. The Lord was teaching me as this was going on. And they sang my text, they sang my major point, they sang a little more than what I had planned to say. He said, "Son, this is the Shekinah. This is my Shekinah glory. This is the song of the Lord." And he said, "I want to bring it upon my people." And he said, "It's going to just fall everywhere. More than just singing in the Spirit and going on with the service, it is a singing that releases the realm of revelation so ministers can be taught and all of us can be taught of the Lord. So that the congregation receives before it's even given out." Hallelujah. Such tremendous anointings that there was just a singing forth, and there was a time when everybody just sang and they would read certain portions of Scripture for about an hour and a half. The glory just rolled and rolled and rolled on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When we got home, the phone was ringing, and David Ingalls was calling me out of Tulsa. Said, "Hello, Brother Chuck, this is Brother David." The anointing was still on me, and I just started in. "The song of the Lord's on his people. The war cry, the battle, or the dance, the war dance and the battle cry." And it just kept on. "Take your hearts down off of the willows, for the Lord has given his people Mount Zion. Sing, O Zion, sing." Keep going, brother. Brother David wrote the song of the Lord's on his people, and the chorus was exactly given on the anointing over the phone, and David Ingalls wrote the song of the Lord's on his people, from the phone conversation in Los Angeles to Tulsa. Hallelujah. There's been about 6 occasions since then, but it's coming more stronger. See, the army of the Lord is finding their ranks through praise. Hallelujah. And so this is what God is bringing forth. All right, he said, "I don't want you to thrust one another through," because he said, "The anointing of my ranks is upon you. You're men of war." Now, there are 4 emphases in the book of Joel. Number 1 is the army of the Lord. Number 2 is the creating restoration, a miracle that God's going to bring upon his people. In verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. We're going to see creative miracles come forth. Eyes, limbs, they will begin to grow. How many have already heard of creative miracles? All right, that is part of the emphasis of Joel, the army of the Lord. Number two is the army. The next is the creative miracles of restoration. My wife was listening to the New Testament on tape, and she's of the 10 lepers. And she told me, she said, you know what the Lord showed me? And she said, it's just beautiful that when the 10 lepers, Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest or the high priest as they went under his command. He said, show yourself unto the priest. And when they, as they went, the Bible says, the lepers saw that they were cleansed and the Lord healed them. In leprosy, of course, fingers and toes are eaten away, sometimes the cheek, sometimes an eye. I've seen them in the island of Okinawa, in the colony there. And so here they go down the road and they're cleansed. But with the healing comes a revelation of Jesus. And this is what divided them from tradition, even though they felt it was a thing to do and they had healing to accompany it. They didn't realize that tradition is to be overpowered by revelation of who Jesus is. And that's what brought the division, 9-1. Because Jesus said, show yourself to the high priest, and allowed him to walk from him, but he was waiting on him because he's the high priest. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, where's the other 9? Cool. Woo! Hallelujah! So with your healing, you'll have an anointing of who Jesus is. This one, he wouldn't budge because he said, why, you guys, where are you going? Well, we're going traditionally to the high priest. Yeah, but I know who he is. And there he sees him. And there Jesus is waiting for him. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been no reason that Jesus would have asked him, where are the other 9? Jesus said, every time my virtue goes forth from me, goes forth the virtue of revelation. Praise God. My wife saw that beautifully. Hallelujah. And then she said, honey, the thing that impressed upon me by the Holy Spirit is when the leper got back to him and he fell at Jesus' feet, Jesus said, after he asked him the question, where are the other 9? Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And everything that the palmer worm and canker worm took away was restored. He was healed. But there's a difference in just being made healed and being made whole. Hallelujah. His eye was restored. His cheek came back. I'm looking for this great anointing of creativity in the anointings of God's people. Let's praise Him for this, Lord. Loose creativity. Loose the restoration ministry. Loose the anointing of God upon my brother. Loose my brother. Loose my sister. Loose creativity for this hour. We praise You, Lord. E candela morli kirio santi li maria. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Water. Hallelujah. So this brings us unto this revelation of the army. Now I'm going to touch on the second or the third and fourth divisions of Joel, but quickly, let's go to 1 Chronicles 12. This army is very important. 1 Chronicles 12. Now, there's a characteristic of this army. I want you to put down the verse 32 and underline it. Verse 32, which were men that had understanding of the time.
What's so different about the army of the Lord? It's because God's touched them with his revelation. And the children of Issachar, in verse 32 of 1 Chronicles 12, which were men that had understanding of the times. Men here, of course, means they both genders involved, male and female. To know what Israel, or the people of the Lord, ought to do. That's enough. I'd just like to have you underline that. And put down by that verse, Genesis 49, verse 14 and 15. Because this is the prophecy of Jacob over his son Issachar. And that will be our next step on back, our next skip of the stone on the water. Genesis 49, verse 14 to 15, but don't turn just yet. These men had understanding of the times. Now, why did we pick this verse? What connection has this with the army of the Lord? Many will say, well, now, brother, that's just an Old Testament verse. Has to do with Issachar. No, it has to do with the body of Christ. Now let's go to verse 38. All these men of what? War. Now there's your revelation of connecting themes. In Joel 2:7, men of war. Now you come to 1 Chronicles 12:38. All these men of war that could keep what? Rank. So there's your connecting theme. We have the divine right because of that connecting theme. This is a chain revelation. What belongs in this chain revelation? All the way to 1 Corinthians 16:13 belongs to us. Hallelujah. Get excited along this line. Amen. Oh, brother, by the time we pass around and say this is for the Jews and this is for somebody else and that's for somebody else, brother, there's nothing there hardly. Prophecy has those three divisions, and that which is primary, when it was spoken for the immediate concern, that which is secondary, which anyone can reach up and pull that prophecy down to themselves, and that which is ultimate. Primary, secondary, and ultimate. Three fulfillings of all of prophecy in Scripture. You got it? Primary, secondary, which is you and I, and ultimate fulfilling. Usually ultimate means in Jesus, in his messianic reign. But all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. But it was the men of war, hallelujah, that could keep rank. All these men of war, what men of war? The children of Issachar and these that had understanding of the times. Now when you're in the army of the Lord, you have understanding of the times. Praise God. So that's why you're here tonight, amen? Oh, it just dawned on me. Hallelujah. I knew something was up. Praise God. Now, why then the men of Issachar? Let's go to Genesis 49, verse 15. Genesis 49. Now, there are other skips along in this revelation chain, but we'll just touch upon them to give you an example of how to come forth with themes that will help the body of Christ. Okay, he said, Issachar's a strong ass, crouching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest. I want you to circle the word rest, or the phrase rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant. Who knows the understanding of the times but those who have the rest that it's good? And put Isaiah 28 there. This is the rest, and this is the refreshing. Hallelujah. I'll cause the weary to rest. God said, with stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to this people. Could you allow me to answer a question that I've heard a lot recently? Some say, some might feel that they can speak or be filled with the Holy Ghost without speaking with other tongues? Well, as we look at Isaiah 28, Isaiah disagrees with you. And he says that with stammering lip and another tongue, well, I speak to this people, God speaking. And he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. Now, if you want to do it some other way, in Isaiah 28, he also brings out that you'll have short beds and narrow covers spiritually. Every time you try to cover up your head with some doctrinal belief, your feet will be sticking out. You'll have a tongues chip on your shoulder. Every time tongues are mentioned, you'll want to argue about it and defend your position. Isaiah said if you come about it any other way, you'll not have the real rest that God wants you to have when you speak in tongues, a stammering lip and another tongue will I speak to this people. Amen. So he said, I want you to stretch out upon that great big king-size bed. Hallelujah. Get one of them Arkansas-Oklahoma comforters and cover up with it. Spiritually speaking, God wants us to rest in the anointings of the Holy Ghost. So that is the rest, which is just, of course, the open door into the resources of His power and His anointing. I do feel definitely that the Bible teaches there is to be a corresponding evidence. And that's why Peter said it in Acts 15, that the Lord witnessed to them, His hand was upon them, when He filled the house of Cornelius with the Holy Ghost, as He did unto us in the beginning. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Not anything less or second best, but as He did unto us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, the rest was good. The land means, of course, the victorious land, that dimension where every battle is a victory, the conquering power of God. The land and Deuteronomy 6 and Romans 8. Put this in your notes somewhere to study it on your own. Preach from it if you'd like, but Deuteronomy 6 and Romans 8 are the corresponding verses of conquering the land. Hallelujah. If you will study those two chapters, you'll come up with tremendous, the land, that it's pleasant. It's a victorious life. The land is not heaven. It is a victorious, overcoming anointing within the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it is pleasant. Praise the Lord. Now, what was it that gave the army of the Lord that revelation that they had understanding of the times? Let's go to Genesis 46. All right? Now, you understand how I come to this conclusion of this connection under the anointing of the Spirit. When we saw that Issachar, then it tied this up with the prophecy of Jacob, Issachar's son. Now, when Issachar put his hand under the greatest battle of his father, he put his hand on his hip. Jacob had limped with his hip for years. It was the weakest place of his life, the greatest battle of his experience in his life. And now he's come to the end of his life. The thing that was such a great battle, and the thing that he had lived on for so many years, God caused it to bless his sons and their children's children and the generations that are yet to come on the scene. Hallelujah. And so when he put his hand, all the sons of Jacob, on their father's hip, he prophesied over them. And those, the revelations of that, then we go back to Jacob then, and that's Genesis 46, verse 1 to 4. Talking of Jacob, the word says, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. And underline this verse, and I will also surely bring thee up again. Hallelujah. God spoken by faith before Israel, before the descendants ever went down into Egypt, the Lord said, I'm going to surely bring them up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. As we've already related in one of the other seminars, that this is almost one-third of God's anointing in your life will always be reserved for you and your home if you'll take that advantage. God always is concerned with the vessel that he moves through. When he saw Ruth in the field of Boaz, or when Boaz come to his own field, and there the young men were picking the cream of the wheat, the best of the wheat, Boaz looked down by the wagon, and there he saw a young lady down there picking up the scraps. He said those great anointed words. At least they'll get some of you awake. But Boaz loved Ruth. He said, Hey, boys, she's won my heart. And he says, when you're picking up the good wheat, throw a handful out on purpose to her. I want you to know that the anointings of God always, there's a portion of anointing in your life that's reserved for your home and your loved ones. It's not, God's not a taskmaster that everything's got to be for him. It's of him, to him, and for him, and from him. To God be the glory. Amen. But ever so often, God will give you a handful on purpose. I've told some of you that in my early ministry, one of those tough tours of my left, just sort of leave everybody under the power of God, and oh, how God worked and the Lord moved upon us. And I was so tired and weary when I got home. After a day or so, I told my wife, I said, I'd like to just have a little time with Galen. I took our son down to Huntington Beach Pier, and I said, Jesus, let my son and I have a good day, and let this boy catch some fish. I'd appreciate it. I sat there, and all those old-timers on that pier looked over, and that kid pulled him in one right out of the other. Just tears pouring down. I just said, thank you, Jesus. It was certainly just the most precious time I'd had with the Lord. Hallelujah. He gave me a handful on purpose. Amen? Oh, you think maybe fishing a little carnal, but bless God, it's enjoyable. See, when you put your hand to the plow, don't forget, you're going to reap. Hallelujah. Amen. And oh, the Lord. So here Jacob was very disturbed over his son that he thought was chewed up by animals. But God said, Jacob, Joseph is going to be with you when you come to meet me. And when you die, ancient tradition was that the closest one to him would close their eyes. And this, after God is saying the great eternal prophecy of how I'm going to take my people into Egypt, I'm going to bring them out again. Oh, it's going to shock nations, and hundreds and thousands of years shall talk of that event. But Jacob, I'm going to meet your heart's desire. Let's praise God for that. Woo, son of the heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, friend, don't be weary in well doing. Pick up the word and keep going. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Jesus, we love you tonight. We praise you, Lord. You've got a handful on purpose for my brother. You've got a handful on purpose for my sister. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 2 is the one I want you to underline. And God spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night. Put down Psalm 16, verse 7. Psalm 16, verse 7. Some of you will have to study this a little more thoroughly for what I'm going to say, but I do throw it out tonight because I feel this is one of the ways God's going to arm His people. Is that here the stone came forth of revelation. It came from the visions of the night. And now let's turn. When that anointing came in the visions of the night, Jacob picked it up. It put unction within him, and he prophesied over Issachar. It brought forth that the land was good, that the land was pleasant, the rest was good. It produced in Issachar an anointing to have understanding of the times, brought forth men of war after one heart to make David king. It went on into Joel, where it became the army of the Lord that would not break rank and not thrust one another through. Hallelujah. Until it brings forth the great army of the body of Christ, who will return the dominion of the earth back to the Father. Now let's go to the key. One of the keys of David is in Psalms 16, verse 7. Please turn to that psalm. Hallelujah. In verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. For the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yet I have a goodly heritage. Verse 7, underline it. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Please circle the word counsel. There's safety in counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. So the full exegetical analysis here in the Hebrew is that David was taught of the Lord's counsel, the reins meaning his mind, his thought life, his spirit man, through his innermost being, while he slept. God's counsel revealed to him in the night season what was going to happen. Whoever told us that in sleeping we should allow our spirit to just float around or sort of be at will, let's say, or hang loose, as the kids say. This is one of the greatest vehicles of weapons that the body of Christ is going to see restored. And the army of the Lord that will help you and I to have understanding of the times, brother. God is going to speak to you His counsel. We're going to bring our minds into subjection to the Holy Spirit. We'll have the Word of God on our hearts. And as the body rests, the Spirit shall hear from heaven. Your spirit shall never sleep. And the anointing of God will speak. And you'll take charge. Because it's in the night season. The enemy has had a jump upon the church, but that's one of the great anointings that God now is going to come into the night. As Moses wrote Psalms 91, the Lord said, I'm going to take care of the terror by night. And when the terror by night is rebuked, our children that have bad dreams, I looked it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, not any spiritual or Christian literature, but in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and the word nightmare is spelled M-A-E-R, which means from the Old English word elf. Or it is imare, which means elf, or a satanic invasion during the night. We have not been taught to bring our minds into subjection to the Holy Ghost as we should and release the counsel of the Lord during the ninth season. I'm not only talking about spiritual matters, I'm talking about vocational success, anointings in business, anointings in ministry, decisions for the home, discipline for the home, domestic discernment, that the whole family will be at the right place at the right time, and you will know the anointing and the authority of God because you will invade, hallelujah, your home shall be a pivot point of power against all satanic invasion and your whole neighborhood. Because of Psalms 8, you'll begin to take the authority over your own dwelling, and then it will just increase and increase until the whole neighborhood and city and nation is under the power and the anointing of the Lord. We rebuke the terror by night. Now let's all begin and let's come into this anointing of knowing and having understanding of the times. But this is a great weapon that the Lord is going to use as we agree together, husband and wife especially, the obvious two. But if you agree with someone else, if you're alone or single, and I know the anointing of the Lord will touch you, you bring your mind and your spirit under subjection to the counsel of the Lord. You say, now, Lord, I loose your counsel during the ninth season, and as I my body rests, my spirit will hear and see your plan and your purpose for our life. As you plead the blood, the Lord will not give you a stone. The anointing of the ninth season, praise God, is that weapon of our warfare that has been dormant. Instead of just dreaming about falling off of cliffs or seeing polka dot Volkswagens with hot dogs and dreaming bad dreams. Every now and then, I know there's been spiritual dreams, but bless God, this is a battle now, friend, and it won't happen just because you just one night. You've got to stay in the Word and speak it and praise God. Loose it every night. Hallelujah. When I was away and up in Northern California around Fresno area, I had a phone call and someone called me and an anointing touched this person, an old friend, and my, how the Word of the Lord came. There was a fresh dimension that God was bringing us into. We'll no longer have to strike the rock and believe and just put stress and everything to keep in the ministry, but there will be a flow in the anointing of the Lord. We'll just speak to the rock. And it was a beautiful, a fresh level of ministry was coming upon us. When I got home, I told that to my wife, and she smiled, and she told me this story that the very same night, she had asked the Lord that he would loose within her the counsel of the ninth season. And she said she saw me come in and tell the very same thing that I just had told her. The Lord moved upon us so that we could be in a unity. Hallelujah. And then when the Lord speaks to her now, he speaks to me. When he speaks to me, he speaks to her. We flow in what I call a existing in the plural, hallelujah, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord brings a unity. Thank you, Jesus. You work at it, of course. But friend, I want you to know that that was a vision for the ninth season. There was a young fellow up in Washington who was a teacher, a ski instructor. He said that during the night in a dream, he called it, the Lord showed him how to sharpen skis a way that he had never seen before. He took that formula, he started a business, and today he's very prosperous and blesses the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, because he's in business now with that formula that was taught him during the ninth season. We're going to be strong and do exploits. We're going to see the power and the glory of the Lord, because God will teach us during the ninth season as we bring our hearts under subjection to the Holy Ghost, reading the Word, speaking in tongues. You have power over all the power of the enemy, and you're going to be taught of the Lord. Hallelujah. Dorsey Lewis, who received the word of the Lord from Evangelist Dick Mills. He was selling water, the sparkless water out in California. $85 a week, $8.50 in tithes, missions and offering, just barely getting by. And this word of the Lord came, and the prosperity of the Lord would be upon him, the revelation of God would come. Just a few nights later, he saw how to tear down a home very quickly with a bulldozer. The days of the freeways, he went down, he rented a bulldozer. He went and he said, well, go ahead, we'll try, see what you've got there. We'll just let you. He said, I can tear it down where it used to take him 2 or 3 days, I believe. He did it in a few hours. And now Dorsey Lewis is very prosperous, living in Palm Springs, California, and this can be verified. God taught him during the night season how to be successful, but how to flow in the anointings of the Lord. And he has blessed the body of Christ, not only in spiritual levels, but praise God. Hallelujah. We want the anointing of God to be a blessing to each one of us, not only to know what the understanding of the times is, but to come forth and have the body of Christ to be bold and praise God. We're going to see his anointing in a beautiful way. I must take a pause. We'll pick this up at our next seminar, which will be tomorrow night. I'll pick this up, and I'll begin then in the area that I would love to have you make a special effort to be here, where Joel says, the last verse of Joel, I'm going to cleanse their blood. It's what God is going to do in this earth. The body of Christ, hallelujah, shall come forth in the measure of beauty and the glory of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your anointing and for your person. We praise you, Lord, that the great army of thy perfection shall be raised up. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us shall fit within thy ranks and thy glory. We praise you, Jesus. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We glorify thy name. We bless your name. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For yea, my strength shall be upon thee, and the anointing, yea, of the Lord shall go before you. For yea, the Lord will shout, yea, as a man of war, and I will lift thee up, and the portion of yea of my glory shall be within them that are mine. And there shall be an anointing that will go forth in the land, and yea, yea, the Lord will move upon thee with a thrashing instrument, for I'll take a worm and thrash your mountain, and my peace shall be within them, and they shall know, and they shall go forth in me, for I will teach them. And yea, the sword of my mouth shall be their reward, for they shall speak it, and it shall be so. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shall we stand tonight? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. This has been a big, heavy day, and some of you have come quite a ways, and let's just bless one another now as we just conclude with this meeting tonight, and then tomorrow morning and then the next morning we'll have more that we will minister to. There'll be ministry during the evening as well, or the afternoon. So let's remember the schedule. Hallelujah. Praise God for that which he has given us in his perfection. Amen. Brother Glenn, do you have any announcement at all upon your heart?
In the mornings we've been having release classes in the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit. And there's been a wonderful, wonderful flow of the Spirit of the Lord amongst the people as the gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifested through the people in the congregation. As Chuck teaches and we move each one as the congregation moves into the realm of the gifts of the Spirit. And it's just been a marvelous experience of the moving of the Holy Spirit here each morning as the whole congregation is led to participate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So come and be with us in the morning.
I'm just falling in love with it. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Shed abroad within thy heart for that which yea happened 2 weeks ago. Do not let it yea overpower thee or rob that which is the confidence that I placed within you. For my anointing is strong upon thee, and thou shalt not turn to the right or to the left. But yea, I will speak to these individuals. I'll cause the wrath of men to praise me. For I've already given you a promotion in my anointing, so that yea, the peace of the Lord shall reward thee openly. And thou art set free, and in thy forehead you'll have the forehead of Ezekiel. For yea, you'll go forth, and yea, the anointing of the Lord shall be powerful upon you, and yea, greater than those, yea, because I'm going to give you your defense. And I will move upon thee and thy family, and the joy of my strength shall encompass thee round about. Stand fast, go through the door with joy, for I've loosed thee for this hour. I've trained you, and your ministry shall be strong. And you'll know that, yea, the Lord has already prepared, and you're going to be lifted into this fresh anointing, and a fresh vision, and a fresh vineyard shall be thine. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. And walk worthy of the vocation to which you're called. For I'll not only, yea, teach you my ways in the sincerity of my love, but the joy of my strength shall touch your shoulders, for you do have a messianic destiny, and that which I'm moving upon thee, yea, I will teach you my ways, this legal matter also, that the enemy would try with his forces to harass you. I have rebuked it, saith the Lord, and they're bound, yea, because of my authority that's upon you, and the garments of praise that has been released in your spirit. You shall see that the word of the Lord will not return void, for I've already encircled thee with my power and my grace. Do not fear, for the joy of the Lord has gone before you, and that which you've already, yea, settled in me. You sowed the seed, and you'll reap the fruit. Yea, know that my strength is upon thee. Be, yea, in confidence. Be in strength, and be in, yea, the anointing that the Lord hath given. For truly your hands are anointed in me. And you shall, yea, go forth and claim that. Speak that which is, yea, of a great vision. Speak the positive rights of Joshua and Caleb. For you will inhabit that which the Lord has promised you. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Sister, we release the anointing of this, that, yea, the Lord thy God has moved within you. And therefore thy God reigns in his anointing. Shall surely bless thee, and thou shalt go forth and know that the words of my strength are upon you. The scepter of my love is around about thee, and you shall surely know that the Lord has done it, and it is in the timing of his grace, and thou art set free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just praise you. Thank you, Father. We just love you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's some further ministry that needs in some of these, but praise God, we'll just see that the Lord, hallelujah, Praise God, Lord. You begun and work within this vessel the miracle, hallelujah, that this heart desires. And we loose her in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, hallelujah, that, Lord, the strength of Mount Zion shall be upon her. For my peace is upon thee, and thou wilt not waver. Yea, the strength of my anointing shall encompass thee round about. Seek the Lord and open your hearts, for thou shalt be set free and go before the Lord with his joy. And yea, his strength shall use thee so that others can come into this peace, and his love is with you. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. There's some insecurity that's really harassing, yea, your inner spirit of a deep hurt. But we just command that hurt to be lifted right now in Jesus' name. Loose it. Devil, you're a liar. We command it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We command it. Come out in the name of the Lord. And we praise you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. For that which I prepared before you, the Lord thy God shall lead. And yea, your steps shall, yea, know the strength and the purpose that I've ordered. And you'll not turn to the right or to the left, but you'll receive the instructions, and my learning shall be your portion. So do not waver, but stand still and see that the salvation of the Lord hath already made a way. And so you within 3 days, yea, after this week is over, you'll know the Lord has definitely settled within your heart a completeness that you will go forth and see that, yea, it has been done, and that the anointing upon you will surely open the door and no man will shut it. Praise God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the sincerity, Lord. For yea, the anointing of my peace shall overshadow thee, and the healing of my strength shall go through thy body. For yea, that which would buffet, you're set free, and your nerves are quieted and healed. For this emotional strain that has tried to go into your body, it's rebuked and you're set free, saith thy God. Do not fear, but let the anointing of my power flow through you, and you shall walk in my word and be renewed in your mind and in your spirit. For the Lord thy God shall bless you. You have decisions, and this harassment here, the Lord will give you that legal wisdom for some decisions that are pressing, but praise God, they'll just lift and you'll know the wisdom that the Lord's done all these things well. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, that your peace shall touch our sister. Hallelujah. For my joy shall overwhelm thee, and thou shalt live and know. As you speak life, you'll see that I will provide, and my glory shall go before you. And therefore, yea, my beloved, rise up and be strong in my hand and in my keeping power, saith the Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.